Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion. 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is September 5, 2016, or Tishri 5, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, I'm Bound for the Promised Land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a restful eye to Canaan's fair and fatal land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will go and come with me? I am bound for the promised land. Although those wide extended plains shines one eternal day, yeah, Yahweh let the sun forever rain and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds, no poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow can end as the felt and fear no more. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I'm bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Yahweh's covenant people, we're going to start a new series, and it's entitled by Ted R. Wheeling. When you learn about this man, you're going to be a very happy camper. He has quite a testimony to tell. He's the author of this book, and on the front of the cover, on the outside cover, it's entitled God's Covenant People. But he believes in Yahweh and Yahshua as the sacred names. That's what he used personally. But he put this God's up there for the benefit of the public that he's going to sell this book to. And this book has been out since 1994. And I was led to this book this morning. I've had it in my possession probably at least 10 years. And I had it my stored away. And I wouldn't part with it, but I didn't know why I had this book. I bought it at a second-hand store. It's a hardback. It's in brand new condition. And a Heavenly Father impressed me. The Holy Spirit said, go and get that book of Romans by Martin Luther that you have out in the trailer house. And boy, I couldn't wait to go out there and get it. And lo and behold, this book, God's Covenant People, was right on top of the book that I of the book of Romans by Martin Luther. And I said, the Holy Spirit said, take that book and open it up. And I said, well, I've had this book, but I've never been really impressed to get into this book. And the Holy Spirit impressed me to take that in with me, and it's in brand new shape for a 20-year-old book. And so it shows that whoever had it before didn't bother putting interest in reading it, and they got rid of it. But this is quite a story about this here God's Covenant People, yesterday, today, and forever, by evangelist Ted R. Whelan. Okay, we're going to just go ahead and start right with the introduction. It says, the Israelites, as Yahweh's chosen people, have always been in the forefront of everything Yahweh has planned since the time Abraham was called to be a father of the many nations. As a result, Israel has always been center stage when it comes to world events. This was not only true in the past, but it remains true today. Yahweh's eternal plan for Israel comes as no surprise unto most Christians. As a matter of fact, many of them have been preaching this for decades. However, there remains a question as to whether the majority of the Christendom has correctly identified Elohim's covenant people. If Israel has been misidentified, there is no doubt that major errors in doctrinal interpretation and application of the biblical prophecy have been made. The resulting confusion from this misidentification would be quite significant. Many of our people are angry, while others are bewildered. Science and technology advanced, but confusion and despair dull the heart of our nation. Turmoil reigns in our land as never before. Nevertheless, the prophet Daniel foretold of a time when many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase, Daniel 12:4. It is my conviction that we live in such a time, and that as this age advances, we will see this turmoil disappear. As knowledge is acquired and more truth is revealed, lines will be drawn more definitely, and our course of action will become clearer. One truth that is opening the eyes of the people of this and other Christian nations is the discovery of the true sons of Israel. For centuries, the identity of the Israelites has been lost. However, truth seekers are uncovering the clues to their whereabouts and dispelling the confusion that results from misidentifying modern-day Israel. My purpose in writing this book is to be a voice that will help to dissipate that confusion and to instill within our people the same purpose and resolve we once had at earlier times in our history. From the days when the early pioneers of true Christianity in America were bold enough to stand up on the word of Yahweh and declare, where the scriptures speak, we speak, and where the scriptures are silent, we are silent, there have been, and there are those chosen few who dare to do the same. These are the people who are striving to keep themselves pure and uncorrupted by the false religious standards of the day. People who want Elohim's way or no way. Far too often we put on our pious robes and think to ourselves that we have arrived at the perfect truth, and that no one else has anything to add to it. As a result, we slam the door to further revelation from Yahweh. The Apostle Paul prudently reminds us that knowledge makes arrogant. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8:1 and 2. With this in mind, the purpose of this book is fivefold. For this book will prove that Yahweh continues to have a plan for physical Israelites under the new covenant. This book will correct the commonly taught fallacy of a spiritual Israel. Number three, this book will prove who Israel is not, thus exposing the imposters. Number four, this book will prove who Israel is from the scriptures, archaeology, and history, thus revealing the true identity of Israel today. Number 5, this book will disclose why this revelation is of such significance. Chapter 1, Yahweh's plan for physical Israel today. Two basic but very important questions will be addressed in this book. Is Yahweh still working with physical Israel during these new covenant times? And who are the Israelites today? Chapter 1 through 3 address the first question. Chapters 4 through 12 address the second question. It is easy to get the proverbial cart before the horse. Most of us would certainly become excited if we discovered that we were of the physical lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, there are those who sincerely believe that Yahweh no longer has a plan for physical Israelites. In each case, it really would not matter whether we descended from those early patriarchs or not. Consequently, it must first be demonstrated from the New Testament that Yahweh still has a plan for and is working with a physical Israel today. Once this has been established, we can then address who these Israelites are and are not. And is Yahweh still working with physical Israel during these new covenant times? That's our next subtitle. Yahweh's plan for the Israelites under the Old Covenant is obvious. Anyone who will take the time to read about it, few, if any, question the fact that Elohim chose Israel for a special task under the Abrahamic and Mosaic covenants of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 14:2 is one of a multitude of scriptures which makes this fact clear. You are a holy people to Yahweh, your Elohim, and Yahweh has chosen you, Israel, to be a people for his own. Okay. Let us go ahead now. It says, possession out of all the people. I'll read that again to you. To be a people for his own possession out of all the people, nations, and races who are on the face of the earth, Deuteronomy 14:2. A similar promise was made to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel by the Yahweh, and who became the progenitor of the Israelites. Okay, now, I represent the antitypical Jacob today, so what does that make me? A progenitor of the spiritual Israelites of today. So, we got a new word that we're going to use and keep in front of us, progenitor. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you, parentheses, Jacob, and in your descendants, parentheses, the Israelites, 144,000, 12 tribes, shall all the families, nations, and races of the earth be blessed. Genesis 28:14. It is non-debatable that Yahweh dealt with Israel in a very special way in the Old Testament, that he called them out for a special task. However, it should also be asked, is there a plan for Israel under the New Covenant era? In other words, does Yahweh still have a plan for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob today? Or did Yahweh's plan for the Israelites cease when the Old Covenant ended and the New Covenant began? There are certainly many who would answer that question in the same manner. As found in the book Clouds Over America, therein Leonard C. Lee declared, Yahweh rejected Israelites as a nation at the commencement of the New Covenant. The Israelites have now passed off the stage of action. That's according to this here man named Leonard C. Lee, and with his book that he wrote, A Clouds Over America. There the Israelites, nationality under the New Covenant is of no significance in the ultimate purposes of Yahweh. Well, isn't that something? how terribly wrong can people be? And is this the correct New Covenant perspective on Israel? Further study in the Old Testament will provide the correct answer to this question, while serious study in the New Testament will disclose the plan Elohim still has for his people Israel. The New Testament's answer. Let us begin in the New Testament by asking a most important question. With whom was the ten for the New Covenant made? This is the question which began my study into Israel's identity. I have always believed in giving scriptural answers to biblical questions, but when I was initially asked this question, I gave an incorrect answer for which no scriptural verification could be provided. If you are a Christian and this is the first time you have been faced with this same question, I suspect that your answer will be very similar to mine and will probably go something like this. The New Covenant is made with the church or with those being saved. If this is how you would respond, you are then required to provide scriptural support for your position. I will save you the time for you will search in vain to find such support. So what is the biblical answer to this question? If that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the days come, says the Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says Yahweh, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Yahweh, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful unto their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 8, 7 and 12. After reading this passage, some of you are surely asking, how could anyone read that and deny Elohim is still working with Israel? However, many Christians will respond, don't you understand that Yahweh is working with the spiritual Israel today? And yet Ellen G. White says she was shown that the Seventh-day Adventists are the spiritual Israel today. And we know that Yahweh is working with them because He's going to bring forth the first fruits out of their bowels, and that's 144,000. People from all nationalities and races who have been saved in the Yahshua, the Messiah, those who respond to Yahshua from all nations and races are today, are Israel today. That is exactly how I have always answered this passage. But that answer does not stand up under the text of the Bible scrutiny. A closer look at this passage will allow the Bible to identify whether those being addressed are a spiritual group or a physical group of Israelites. Days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, Hebrews 8:8. Spiritual or physical? Can spiritualizing the term house of Israel and house of Judah be scripturally justified? Were these terms ever spiritualized in the Bible? No, they were not. These two terms designate the house of Israel comprised of the 10 northern tribes and the house of Judah comprised of the 2 southern tribes. Now here again, it's Arthur Whelan. He's right on target, I'd say probably 90% of the time. But he doesn't watch carefully Judah and Benjamin are the two tribes that are connected together, and the Benjamites are often referred to as Jews. The Jews is an acronym. It's a short for the name Judah, J-U-D-A-H, or Yehuda, Y-A-H-U-D-A. And it's a short. Okay. Both houses were physical groups of people, commenting on Jeremiah 31:31. The text from which this passage in Hebrews is quoted, Rabbi Isaac Lesher makes the following valid point. Okay, now I want to make a point. Israel that keeps all of Yahweh's commandments and that come up from year to year to the Day of Atonement, and those that get their sins blotted out on the Day of Atonement, they continue on in Israel. And they continue on maintaining their living quarters in their tents. Whatever tribe they're from, they go right back to their tent after Atonement. From year to year, they come on Atonement to make sure that their sins are blotted out if they have accumulated any sin during that year. They want to make sure that the high priest comes out of that first apartment, the most holy apartment, that before the sun goes down on the Day of Atonement, they know that they're going to die. If that high priest don't come out, then they know that there's sin in the camp and that Israel's sins didn't get blotted out. Okay? So that's your spiritual Israel of any day. I don't care what you're talking about. And those whose sins are retained and not blotted out, those are the ones that are fleshly, physical Israel. The others are spiritual, physical, fleshly Israel. Okay? But fleshly Israel is fleshly, physical, and spiritual. But you have the two classes. You have the fleshly carnal that are abiding in the house of the spiritual Israelite until the Day of Atonement. And then after that, if he remains carnal, he hadn't confessed and repented of his sin before the Atonement, and his name is taken out of the books of life, and he is driven out of the camp. And he's banished out of the borders of Israel. Okay, that's for our brother Michael. That's for our brother, Ted R. Whelan. That's for our brother there. Okay, now let's continue on reading. I'm on page 4 of this book. It says, the parties are stated not to be the nations of earth. Let's go back and let's start again with spiritual or physical. Let's go do that again. Can spiritualizing the term house of Israel and house of Judah be scripturally justified? Were these terms ever spiritualized in the Bible? And then here, this man Whelan says, no, they were not. See, as if he is an authority. So he's not only the questioner, but he also answers his own question. And as he said before, I've answered a question before, and it turned out that the Bible didn't back it up. Well, Mr. Ted Whelan, you just answered another question here that the Bible don't back up. And you said, no, they were not. Well, you have to have inspiration to make emphatic judgmental statements saying, absolutely, no, they were not. In other words, you're establishing yourself as a scribe, an interpreter of the law, when you do that, Mr. Whelan. Now, I love your book. I was drawn to it. I providentially obtained this book from a half-price bookstore, no less, or a Goodwill store, about 10 years ago, actually, maybe longer, maybe even up to 13 or 14 years ago, I don't know. Anyway, they were not, he said. These two terms designate the house of Israel comprised of the 10 northern tribes and the house of Judah comprised of the two southern tribes, but he only said the two southern tribes were called Judah. No, the two southern tribes are called Judah and Benjamin. Benjamin is the doorkeeper for Judah. Okay? Both houses were physical groups of people. Yeah. Literally, yeah, physical group of people. And they were also very fleshly and carnal. Not all, but they were mixed with the fleshly and the carnal. Now, the fleshly is the carnal. The spiritual are the ones that are fleshly, but they're not carnal. They're, okay, they're purified because they have followed the sanctuary system 100% on how to become pure, and so they have proved by having their sins blotted out on the Day of Atonement who's pure and who's not. Okay, commenting on Jeremiah 31:31, the text from which this passage in Hebrew is quoted, Rabbi Isaac Esser makes the following valid point. Okay. The parties are stated not to be the nations of the earth, not as spiritual Israel, but the actual descendants from the line of Jacob. Okay, well, that the descendants from the line of Jacob would be your 12 tribes of Israel. Judah and Benjamin are only two tribes of the 12 that are of the line of Jacob. Because the 12 tribes of Israel, and it comes from their ancestors, the 12 sons of Jacob. So he says, but the actual descendants from the line of Jacob, the houses of Israel and Judah. Well, okay, Israel is the 10 tribe, and Judah is the 2 tribes. Okay, this is correct. If a spiritual nation were meant, the prophets would not have particularized, for the double family is not applicable to a spiritual symbol, but only, as said, to the nation that was at that time divided into two contending divisions. Nowhere in Scripture were these two terms used to imply spiritual rather than physical groups of people. The terms house of Israel and the house of Judah cannot arbitrarily be spiritualized in Hebrews chapter 8 or any other passage, unless justification can be found within each and every passage for doing so. Israel and Judah are described in the Bible as physical groups of people, the progeny of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some people do not delineate between these two houses, but consider them one and the same, addressing either house as simply Israel. Yet in the Old Testament, Israel and Judah are described as sisters, and sisters may be of the same family, but they are not the same persons. The difference between the two houses will be covered later in this chapter, because it is of the utmost importance that this distinction be understood. Not only do the two terms house of Israel and house of Judah demand that the Israelites of the Hebrews 8:8 be recognized as physical people, but so does the context of the entire chapter, Yahweh goes on to say. Now, in context, I agree with you, Mr. Ted. I agree with you, what you're saying here, because you are quoting the scripture. yes, I'm gonna write a book. Yes, I'm gonna write a book also. As a matter of fact, I've always written a book that's about over 100 pages in it. I've been working on it for 10 years. And it's on my website. 11thhourcall.com under publications, I believe. So anyway, what I'm saying is, I'm going to clarify these statements, show you where, if you had the spiritual inspirational eyesight, you wouldn't be making these concrete statements, emphatic statements, as being absolute, and there's no other way of explaining them except the way that you come up with. This is wrong, 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 Mr. Ted. This is wrong. But you know what? I just loved your testimony of how you were converted. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. I'm just going to tell you right now. Because Heavenly Father told me that He had personally called you to do what you're doing, Brother Ted. And if we keep on together, we're going to meet up one day. Now, that goes without saying. Because I am truly a prophet in Israel. I have the antitypical position of Elijah, Malachi 4:5, and antitypical position of David, and I have the antitypical position of Jacob. My ancestors' names were Jacob. They come from the Jewish clan of Jacob. That was their name. And so I know whereof I speak. And let's go ahead. So he says, not like, I'm on the page 5 of this here book, not like the Mosaic covenant with Yahweh, which I, Yahweh, made with their father, Hebrews 8:9. Another thing I want to say, Brother Ted, if you don't use King James scriptures exclusively, you should. Because that's where you get your ultimate inspiration from and your correct analysis. And then when you start also using the supplying words that are missing and know how to supply the missing words and know when there are missing words. And your missing words are going to be mostly prepositions and articles and so forth. That's going to be your main thing. You're going to have to learn how to supply the missing prepositions when they go in the right place and the right one. And not only that, but either the definite article or the indefinite article. And there are two indefinite articles, and there's one definite article. The definite article is the, and the indefinite articles are an, and, or, a. So, you got to know when to use a personal possessive definite article or the indefinite article, and a. Makes a difference in the interpretation of what you're reading. Let's go ahead. Not like the Mosaic covenant which I, Yahweh, made with their fathers, Hebrews 8:9. If the people in this passage are Israelites in only a spiritual sense, then it stands to reason that their fathers who are mentioned in the first half of verse 9 would also have to be spiritual rather than physical. However, let us continue with the rest of the verse. And on the day when I took them, the Israelites, by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, Hebrews 8:9, there is no question that the house of Israel and the house of Judah were physical people, since these people with whom Yahweh makes his new covenant were and are the descendants of the physical men and women who were led by the Moses out of Egypt. Now, Brother Ted, you make a real big issue of this here physical men and women, Israel. Literally a physical people. But I think anyone that's called himself a Christian that's ever read the Old Testament knows, if they believe in all the events that are recorded there, they know in their hearts that that was a literal event when they came out of Egypt. They know that they were literally physical women and men and children and animals. They know that that was a literal physical event. That don't have to be stressed out time and time again. What needs to be stressed is fleshly carnal against spiritual flesh, fleshly spiritual. You need to address those two issues. What constitutes physical, fleshly, carnal? And what constitutes physical, fleshly, spiritual? And you'll find out that when the covenant is kept that he made with our father, those that kept the covenant, they were the ones that passed out of the wilderness into the promised land under Joshua and the Ark of the Covenant. And those that didn't keep the covenant were the ones that were fleshly, carnal Israel that died in the wilderness. That's all you have to say. No more than that. Likewise, in these last days, when you're quoting the Hebrews chapter 7 and 8, all you got to do is go with the prophecy there of Ezekiel 20, verse about 32-40, where it says, in verse 37, says, I'll bring them out of the wilderness, and I will bring them out of all nations where they have been scattered, and bring them into the wilderness of the people. The wilderness of the people in prophecy is the United States proper. You can go find that out there by reading about the scarlet colored beast in Revelation 17 that said was seen in the wilderness. The wilderness in prophecy is the United States proper. So where is he going to gather all people in these last days? Out of all nations when they have been scattered. Ezekiel 20. Go read it. He said, I'm going to bring them into the wilderness of the people. What in the world do you think he's gathering all nations into the United States for today? Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people are being gathered here in the United States. And among them is the chosen seed and descendants of spiritual Israel, the 12 tribes. And the 12 tribes is when they've been joined back together as one house. And they've been joined back together as one house again. Ezekiel 37 prophecy joins them back together. The stick of Ephraim and the stick of Judah. Ezekiel the prophet and his prophecy joins the two great kingdoms, the two houses of Israel, back together. And they call two houses of Israel. And then what happens after that happens? You have Isaiah chapter 2 where it talks about many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Yahweh. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. The mountain of the house of Yahweh is comprised of the 12 tribes of Israel being joined back together there in Ezekiel 36. And all that information starts in Ezekiel 37, where the valley of dry bones, where they're resurrected. It says it's called the whole house of Israel. When the 12 tribes are resurrected and put back together with the living Israel of today, and it's called the whole house of Israel, and these are spiritual, physical, fleshly Israel. But they've been part of the whole house of Israel, been resurrected. Okay, so it says, let's go ahead with our reading on page 5 now of our book by Mr. Our God's Covenant People. I'm going to give the title by Mr. Whelan, Ted Whelan. Let's just say Ted. For short, Hebrews 8:8-12 is taken from a prophecy found in Jeremiah 31:31-34. In verses 35 and 36 of Jeremiah 31, we find further evidence that the Israelites mentioned in Hebrews 8 are physical rather than spiritual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I agree with you. Those Orthodox Jews and those Orthodox Russian Jews and those Orthodox Jews, wherever they're at in all the nations of the world, they are scattered all over the world. And they're devils let out of hell, no doubt. I've got the book, Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I know exactly why the Illuminati set the Zionist Jews up to be the visible forefront of their clandestine operations that they have planned since they showed up as a shadow government at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. I know that. There was two governments there present at the time. The Constitution of the United States represented spiritual apparatus for the setting up of this country. And it's called the Far-Reaching Principles of the Law of Moses. And it would have been impossible to set the United States up under the law of Moses at that time, totally impossible. Prophecy wouldn't allow for it. And I can show that to you why later on. But you were right. That was a faulty covenant. a constitution represented a faulty covenant, just like the Bible talks about. If the first covenant of Israel had been faultless, there would have been no need to have sought for a second one. But since the first one was faulty, so is our constitution. But yet, nevertheless, our constitution is regarded as the greatest constitution of all the nations of the world today. But yet, it was faulty. Just like the first covenant made with Israel, of ancient Israel, was faulty. That's the reason why they had to take it out of the way and make a new covenant, and you find that new covenant being made there in Hebrews chapter 7 and 8, where he writes it upon the fleshly tables of their heart. That may be another reason why, Mr. Ted Whelan, that you get this here fleshly physical Israel, is where it says fleshly tables of their heart. I can understand that. All right, let's go ahead. This is Yahweh, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that it waves, its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. If this fixed order of the sun, moon, and stars depart from before me, declares Yahweh, then the offspring of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Now, Mr. Ted Whelan, the Bible says that if you add to or take from, or if you change anything, that's in the King James Bible, that he's going to take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know what? What a terrible thing you just did. I just read it. You took that and you replaced the word nation with offspring of Israel. The Bible don't say that. And any other Bible that has it with offspring is not, has no inspiration whatsoever. Now I'm understanding why. Even though you were called of Yahweh, and I believe that it would be profitable for you and me to meet one day, and it would be very profitable, because I believe that you are truly a spiritual, heaven-sent man. I believe with all my heart. But you know, you're just a Gentile straight out of the woods. And I guarantee you, of course you are the bloodline of Israel, but you may not know that, and again, you may know it. You are definitely of the genealogical hookup of the seeds of Abraham through Isaac, and not Ishmael. But what I'm saying is, this is something that I've cautioned you about, that you need to go back, and you need to use the King James Bible in all of your books, and you need to rewrite them, and you need to just replace those words with the right wording. Because you weaken, and you discredit the word of Yahweh, you discredit inspiration. I know, I have proved it out, Mr. Ted. I started in 1970 on this trail. I was born again in 1970. I had a divine revelation, and it all happened to me in one day. One day I was totally focused in one direction, and before the sun went down, the phone rang during the day, and before the sun went down, I was completely a changed, converted person from the left to the right. I was never the same. That was in 1970. And I know I could write a book on it. And I've been charged the office of inspiration, and I have spent 46 years of prophesying messages to the true spiritual Israel of today, House of Israel today, where I started out in 1970 at the age of 32. I'm 78 years old now. I have been 46 years at the plow and honing my wares. Heavenly Father's been teaching me every day, just like today. I wasn't even thinking about your book until today, and I got this morning The Holy Spirit told me to go get the book on Romans. And I knew where that was at by Martin Luther. And lo and behold, your book was on top of it. And when I tried to get to my book that I was after, I had to take your book and sit it out of the way. The Holy Spirit says, no, this book, God's covenant people. And that's why I'm reading from it today, and I will be in this book until I've exhausted it. And I will put it on tape, every bit of it. And I'm going to encourage you to listen to my sermons every day. Because you're going to be a happy camper if you believe what I say. And if you will follow the counsel that I give you, you will be a happy camper and you will be 1,000 times more productive than you are now. Even though you've been very, very successful. And you have probably been tremendously successful every day. But let me tell you something. It's easy to get exalted in your own eyesight and not to remain humble. It's really easy to do that. Because thank the Heavenly Father, that's one gift He gave me. To always remain patient, endure, and remain humble. And to be able to give true counsel to where it's needed, to the people that needs it at the time that the inspiration shows it to me. So, that's what I'm doing. Okay, now, let us get back. But I want to read this from the King James Bible, what you just read here, from Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 to 34. I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. It's pretty close, but it's not that word offspring just kills the whole thing. Whole thing. Nation is one of the most powerful words in the Bible. Okay. Jeremiah 31, 31-34. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. When he says house of Judah, he's talking about the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Now, Benjamites are called Judahites. No, they're called Jews, but they're Hebrew Israelites that are the doorkeepers for Judah in the south. And so, that being the case, Yahweh put them two together so that they can, because actually Benjamin belongs to the 10 tribes of Israel, not Judah. But Yahweh borrowed Benjamin for a reason, and he gave Benjamin to Judah to be their doorkeeper, door opener and door closer, and their army, and their sentry guards. Okay? In verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I will remember their sin no more. So the ones that he makes this new covenant with are the spiritual Israel of today, and I'm talking about the fleshly, physical, spiritual, not the fleshly, physical, carnal. Impossible. He discards them. Only the spiritual he retains and makes a new covenant with. And when he does that, it's because they have faithfully followed the sanctuary system, and we have the Day of Atonement coming up here now in 5 days. On the seventh day Sabbath, on September the 10th, we have the antitypical Day of Atonement. It comes once a year. I publish a creation calendar on my website, 11thhourcall.com. All you got to do is go check on it, and you can get the correct time for keeping the Day of Atonement for the blotting out of sins for spiritual Israel today. Spiritual, fleshly Israel today. Physical Israel today. Okay, thus saith, in verse 35, Jeremiah 31, thus saith the Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahshua of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Is the sun still shining for light by day, and is the moon still shining for light by night? And Yahweh is still working with the physical Israelites today, just as Jeremiah prophesied. Thus says Yahweh, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all the evil that they have done, declares Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:37. Have the heavens been measured? It may have been tried, but it still stands unaccomplished. Our space-age telescope and satellites have provided information which estimates the radius of the universe at billions upon billions of light years, and no one can venture a guess as to how much further it may extend. Have the depths below been searched out? To date, only 1% of the Earth's radius has been explored. The Earth's depths have not been searched out and never will be, because Yahweh's plan is to work with Israel throughout all ages. It is these Israel people who will never cease from being a nation forever, and it is the offspring of these people. Here he goes with that offspring again. It's supposed to be nation of these people. With whom Yahweh has made his new covenant nonetheless, from Romans 9:27, we know that not all Israel will be saved. Only the remnant of the physical Israel, who are washed in the blood of the Yahshua, the Messiah, will obtain the salvation according unto Yahweh's promises. Okay. Okay, Brother Ted. Here's that offspring again. Okay, this is terrible. This should be, again, it is a nation of these people with whom Yahweh has made his new covenant with. It's this new nation of Israel. Put the word new if you have to, but leave the word nation there. And then when you use that Yahshua, the Christ, you use that pagan title, Christ. And Christ is taken from a Latin word, from an oil called Christo, C-H-R-I-S-T-O. And the Greeks took it, they transliterated that invention of a word from a sexual rubbing oil to be the title, to take the place of the title Messiah. Not a name, but a title. And here you come along using the sacred name Yahshua, and I'm suspect that you're not even spelling it right, Yahshua, but nevertheless, at least it's pronounced the right way. It should be Y-A-H-S-H-U-A. It should have seven letters in it. You're leaving the H out. I mean, you're leaving the A out, the second letter. Y-A-H. That's the three letters of the name of the Father on the front of the Son, meaning Yahweh saves. Okay? And then you say the Christ. Well, what do you do that for? Use a sacred name, and then you put the most derogatory term that you could connect with the sacred name, and that's that terrible, terrible word, Christ. Simply, whenever the heathen read it, and those who know where the title Christ came from, they automatically know that they come from a sexual rubbing oil, the most derogatory thing that you could use to attach to a sacred name of our Savior that died on the cross to redeem all mankind. from Adam on Eve children down to the end of time. That's horrible. And so, yes, Mr. Ted, you have a few things to learn, but that's okay. As far as I'm concerned, you're still who Yahweh called you to, you're doing what Yahweh called you to do, and that's the main thing. And I know that what you're doing is, you're doing whatever the talent that He gave you to do, you're using it, and I'm satisfied with that. So it says, a second witness. When we find the biblical testimony, such as Hebrews 8, we expect to find a second or third witness in other passages confirming the same thing. One such verification is found in Romans 9:3-4, where the Apostle Paul testifies to the same truth. Ah, the Apostle Paul, in which that I myself were cursed, separated from the, and instead of calling it that Christ, that terrible, a substituted title for the sacred name, for the sacred title Messiah, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, and to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants, Romans 9:3-4. These verses clearly identify a physical group of people, physical Israelites. Paul confirms that Elohim's covenants belong to these people and unto no other. Genesis tells us that the Abrahamic covenant belongs to the Israelites. Yahweh appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am Yahweh Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Now here we go again. With my knowledge of the scriptures from the King James, I know that that word blameless is not the that's not the transliteration from the Hebrew term for the same thing, because blameless is not the same thing as perfect. It's not even a synonym for the word perfect. I know what the scripture says. It says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Okay, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and Yahweh talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of the multitude of nations. Okay, now, as far as I understand, just from memory, is you shall be the father of a multitude. Okay, now I'm going to reread that again from the King James Bible, because you were quoting Genesis 17:1-7. I'm going to go ahead and finish reading what is written here. It says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you, and I, Yahweh, will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be Yahweh unto you and unto your descendants after you. Genesis 17:1-7. Look up. Oh. Okay, I just have one comment to make at this point. Genesis 17:7, and the King James Version says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, T-H-E-E. Mr. Whelan has it between me and you. Now, true enough, the word you is mentioned 2,616 times in the King James Scriptures, and I have nothing wrong with the usage of that word you, but I do have issue when that word you is put in the place of another word that was originally put there, and that's the word thee, to put you in the place of thee. Now there's a reason why the King James Bible is written the way it is. And Yahweh says you're not to add to or take one from. This brings in verse 7. This hour you can contact us at the 11th hour call. Number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Love, listen to me. I was sinking deep in sin. Oh. more than the peaceful shore. Very deep we stand within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe I'm high. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I will sing. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, never's my soul the song. Faithful love and service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Yahshua completely saved. He will lift you by his love out of the angry wave. He's a master of the sea, bellows his will obey. He a Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me.